John Lovett, your new White House press secretary. We've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. On Wednesday, Trump announced that White House press secretary Karoline Leavitt, no relation, she'll go down in history as one of the most loyal press secretaries of all time before those history books are burned to destroy any evidence that women were allowed to have jobs. Trump said Leavitt will be departing her role at the end of the month so she can spend more time with her beautiful young children and family, a decision I totally understand and respect. Family first, added Trump, before using the photos Don Jr. sent from his recent wedding as a placemat to catch falling lettuce from a Big Mac. On Thursday, 3 months after a judge ordered Trump's name pried off the side of the Kennedy Center, the Kennedy Center's board, stacked by Trump, voted to split the difference, officially renaming the building, quote, the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, as restored and renovated by President Donald J. Trump, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. In other news, the Department of Homeland Security is spending $20 million to equip ICE agents with electric shock gloves. DHS has already tried all the cheaper ways to get ICE agents to stop jacking off at work. One expert described the feeling of the electric shock as similar to a bee sting, and like bees, the ICE agents you see in the wild have underdeveloped genitals and cannot technically have sex. Here are the gloves in action, courtesy of CNN.
When I scream like a little girl and pee myself, go back with the gloves.
Is that how a little girl screams when shocked? Well, we'll have to wait until ICE agents get the gloves to find out. Oh my God. And here, oh my God. How could you say that? And here's Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, defending the gloves.
You've seen the videos in the past year and a half, the fights on the street where officers are overwhelmed. This would be a tool they can use to make someone compliant. Now, you know, there's a lot of training involved. There's still some, you know, background, you know, issues that need to be dealt with. So the implementation of these gloves out in the field are going to be a while.
Which means for now, the officers will only be using them on their unsuspecting ex-wives. Speaking of divorce, during a town hall this week, Ken Paxton, the embattled Republican Senate nominee in Texas, was asked this question.
Hi, Paxton. It's nice to meet you. I'm just wondering, why did you cheat on your wife?
Well, what did Pat Nixon say when she pushed Richard Nixon into the pool? Just getting my dick wet. Here was Paxton's response.
I'm not going to talk about personal issues that relate to my family, just like I don't think you would want to discuss your marriage on a call with thousands of people.
Paxton, of course, has never had a problem making other people's personal lives an issue. He said he would defend a state law that bans sodomy after Clarence Thomas suggested the court reconsider its ruling in Lawrence v. Texas. And Paxton also created a tip line where you could submit photos if you suspected a trans person was using a public bathroom, even though it is illegal to take pictures of people in a public bathroom because the lighting is so bad. Paxton, who is running against Democrat James Tallarico, publicly separated from his wife last year after she filed for divorce on, quote, biblical grounds. Biblical grounds refers to both adultery and a fabulous Christian coffee shop where Ken Paxton fucked a barista. Now, I actually agree that people deserve privacy and we can never know what goes on inside of a marriage. But then I stumbled upon this video in which State Senator Angela Paxton talked about her marriage.
Ken is glad to be here because he's always glad to be somewhere where somebody cooks some food for him. Not at home, but, and I'm of course glad to be here tonight. I love to come and hear Ken speak so I can see him. When I try to remember where Ken is, a lot of times I can't remember because he's just so many different places. If you're gonna come home after I've already gone to bed, and I need a heads up so you don't get shot. And as you can see, he is here. He has not gotten shot, and he's real good about giving me a heads up.
Again, I am not going to judge their marriage and say even 10 years ago the signs were there. But she also sang this song.
I'm a pistol packing mama, and my husband sues Obama. I'm a pistol packing mama, yes I am.
Honestly, charming. And stay tuned for her next album, God Bless Texas, where I'm going to shoot my ex-husband. Speaking of unexpected turns, the installation of a $500 million undersea cable in the UK was halted following an outcry from Harry Potter fans, which is better than their usual cries, like after their AI boyfriends break up with them. The original plans had the 125-mile cable running directly through what fans say is the gravesite of Dobby, an elf who dies in the 7th Harry Potter book. But it's all bullshit, said RFK Jr. I dug for hours and zero elf meat. And finally, I would like to talk to you about some developments in Los Angeles that have made me very mad, and I have promised to do this in 3 minutes or less. All right, let's go. According to a new report, street homelessness in LA went up last year by 8%. This despite Mayor Karen Bass spending almost $400 million on Inside Safe, her signature homelessness program, which has only found temporary shelter for 6,000 people, 40% of whom ended up back on the street. But homeless in Los Angeles isn't increasing everywhere. According to LA's homelessness agency, in one district, the number of people on the street actually fell by half. That happened in Nithya Raman's district, the city council member who is currently running against Mayor Karen Bass. How? Well, Nithya built a dedicated team of case managers, recruited volunteers, tripled the number of shelter beds, mapped encampments, and got people off the street, all of which Karen Bass must have seen from the little window on that plane. But how did the mayor and her allies on the city council respond? They actually dissolved Nithya's Housing and Homelessness Committee in this vindictive and petty way. Even worse, who did the establishment put in charge of the new housing committee? Council member Imelda Padilla. You might remember her from this interview with me, where she bragged about cutting the number of affordable housing units in an apartment building, which did cause my jaw to literally drop. Or this hearing, where she talked about the benefits of broken streetlights.
I actually had some community members say, I don't want more lights because then I can't look at the stars.
Oh, look, it's the Big Dipper, said a guy breaking into your car. Jesus. Mayor Bass and Councilwoman Padilla also sided with NIMBYs to oppose a law to allow new apartment buildings by mass transit stops, which is just common sense. And when that law passed anyway, they fought to delay and limit construction of these projects through the city's bureaucracy. This is actually when Mayor Bass lost me personally. And it's why I'm glad that my husband is now working on Nithya's campaign. Disclosure. But honestly, I would have said all this anyway. Now, during a housing crisis, when our population is literally shrinking because people can't find a place to live on their salaries, and when Los Angeles has failed to build the homes it already promised to build, Mayor Bass has totally abdicated her responsibility. Now, Imelda is saying that actually Mayor Bass is the one who deserves credit for the reduction in homelessness in Nithya's district. But in Imelda's own district, according to the same report, unsheltered homelessness jumped 63%, with 28% more people living in RVs and tents. Ugh, said a person who just became homeless in Imelda's district. It's so fucking bright with all these recently repaired streetlights. I can't even see the fucking stars. So what's the argument here? If you think Mayor Bass deserves credit for reducing homelessness in Nithya's district, shouldn't you be furious at the mayor for totally failing in your district? What point do you think you're making, Imelda? And then another political ally of Karen Bass, the president of the city council, Marquise Harris Dawson, said that what really bothered him about Nithya is that she let her ambition get the best of her. This woman is simply too ambitious. But you gotta cut her down to size now. If we make too much progress on homelessness, what will Erewhon make the Hailey Bieber smoothies out of? When Nithya was a housing advocate, she was frustrated by the city's failures on homelessness, so she ran for the city council and won. Then the city council conspired to redraw the maps to gerrymander LA so that Nithya would lose her seat. She won again. The scheme was actually caught on tape in a conversation that was also separately racist towards Oaxacans. And I would go into it, but we only have 3 minutes. Point is, over and over again, the establishment has fought Nithya because she's demanding accountability and change. And change is hard. It requires grinding effort, persistence, resistance and a willingness to be honest about where we have failed. What it takes is ambition. And despite what this city council president says, I think we actually need a lot more ambition from the people who run this city. And also, at the intersection where Los Feliz Boulevard becomes Western Avenue, the right two lanes both ought to be allowed to turn on Franklin. But I will take that up with Mayor Nithya Raman. And that's time. And we've got a great show for you tonight. And we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Quince. August is the perfect time to hit reset before the first winds of autumn blow in. And where better to start than your closet? That's why I love shopping at Quince. Quince is all about adding fewer, better items to your wardrobe. Their clothes are made with premium materials, built to last, and designed to be worn in heavy rotation. Quince specializes in everyday staples that work harder, like their ultra-soft organic cotton tees and premium Mongolian cashmere sweaters. They're versatile, timeless, and transition seamlessly from a casual workday to a nice dinner out. Quince makes it easy to upgrade the worn-out basics you can't seem to part with. They have premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60 with the kind of perfect fit, structure, and high-quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middlemen, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. I have a great sweater from Quince that I really love. It looks really nice. I have great sweats from Quince. I also have great sheets from Quince. They just have great stuff. And when you're looking to buy something, just go check Quince, because they often will have a better version of it for less than whatever else you are looking at. So it's just a great all-around place to check out. Upgrade your everyday. Go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/loveit for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/loveit. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Willie's Remedy. Willie's is a premium THC-infused social tonic crafted by the legendary Willie Nelson. It's a low-calorie, low-sugar alcohol alternative that works, delivering a fast-acting, euphoric social buzz without the regret that comes with alcohol. Willie's social tonics come in 5 mg and 10 mg doses with a best-in-class flavor experience, so smooth and balanced you barely realize you're drinking a THC product at all. You can enjoy the tonics as a shot, sipped over ice, or mixed into your favorite mocktail. Willie's unique blend of THC, CBD, CBG, and L-theanine delivers a feeling of calm, clarity, euphoria, and relaxation. One shot of Willie's helps you relax, unwind, and de-stress. It's perfect for taking the edge off at the end of a long day or socializing with friends. Willie's ships directly to your door in 40 states and has sold out 3 times in the first 6 months with over 300,000 plus happy customers. I'm one of those happy customers. I love Willie's, genuinely. It's my favorite, so I really recommend it. Order now at drinkwillies.com and use code LOWLY for 20% off your first order plus free shipping on orders over $95, and live like a legend. Drinkwillies.com, code LOWLY. We'll be joined by Congressman Ted Lieu and David Pakman in just a moment. But first, friends of the pod, we are excited to see so many of you at CrookedCon. Quick reminder, there are a limited number of Friend of the Pod tickets for CrookedCon, and they are selling out fast. If you want to take advantage of the discount, now is the time to grab those tickets. If you're not yet a paid subscriber, there are even more reasons to join. You get subscriber-only shows like Pod Save America Only Friends, our Lucis episode, access to exclusive Substack newsletters, including PSA's Only Tabs. You get Polar Coaster with Dan Pfeiffer, and you're supporting independent pro-democracy media that you can trust. So go to crookedcon.com to get your tickets and to join Friends of the Pod. All right, please welcome to the stage from the great state of California and from the internet, respectively, it's Congressman Ted Lieu and David Pakman. Hi. Congressman, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hi, how are you? Yeah, good to see you too. Come on in. Welcome. Nice to see you both. Years ago, I remember sitting next to you at a fundraiser somewhere in LA, and I feel like it was the first time you met, and I feel like who the fuck am I sitting next to who is saying all these things at a professional event? And I just want to say that I'm sorry.
I do use hair coloring now, so there's a difference between then and now.
You think? Oh, that's. Oh, yes. Has your hair gone the other way?
No, it's generally much more white.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, it's good of you to kind of be honest about your hair journey. People sometimes keep it a secret. They feel like they don't say, like, we don't. Trump wants. Trump's hair is natural.
That's right.
Now, both of you have been on a specific beat, which is the Trump falling asleep beat. Now, Congressman Liu, you actually asked Secretary of State Marco Rubio about Trump sleeping in meetings. I'm wondering, like, first of all, what was his reaction, and why do you think it was important to ask him about that?
There are all these videos, right, of Donald Trump at cabinet meetings literally just falling asleep. And in some of them, Rubio was next to him. And so I just wanted to ask Dr. Rubio what he thought of Trump falling asleep. I didn't think that he would just lie. It's almost so much easier when they just lie. It makes it much better for their hearing. And so he just denied that Trump was falling asleep. So I showed him videos of Trump falling asleep while Rubio was speaking. And can we just go off real quick and say that, you know, this whole Air Force One thing where Rubio was in the Air Force One as a decoy, that should be his new Secret Service name. He should just be called Decoy. Much better than Expendable.
Yeah, well, so well, that's it. The Expendables. They're all very stretchy or something. Yeah, because it was, just so people know, Hegseth was on the plane Trump went through that cart to get onto, or catering truck to get onto, and both Rubio and Besant were on the main plane that was the decoy plane. And sort of a, you know, I got to say, must be tough to be Rubio and Besant to be like, wait, but we're the smart good ones. You know, I mean, by comparison. So wait.
Trump said that the dangerous plane was the one he got onto, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
None of this makes any fucking sense. So, right. So he gets on the decoy plane, which he's now claiming is the decoy plane. The White House is now saying there was that Rubio and Besant and the White House staff knew, but obviously the reporters didn't. And also we were learning through leaks that it was based on Israeli intelligence that people didn't really necessarily believe. But if they didn't necessarily believe it, why did they put Trump in a snack truck and put him skulking underneath to get him out of the airport for fun, just to see if it would work as a little bit of daring do? What do you think?
Here's what doesn't make sense to me at all. They could have had Air Force One go down the runway and go, oh, check engine light went on. Then have their plane roll back. All the time, this other plane just takes off and goes. So they didn't have to fly Air Force One at that exact moment in time and put it at risk. That's what is super odd, that they even flew Air Force One. They could have just held it.
Don't you think, though, that he just wanted private time with Natalie Harp?
Oh, okay. interesting. Something to think about. Something to think about carefully. Now, other than a little innocent dozing, anything about the sleeping? What are your thoughts?
Well, he made Biden being Sleepy Joe the test of presidential fitness. And he went on, I think it was the Andrew Schultz show, and said, you're never going to see me falling asleep in public. It's really hard for me to fall asleep. This Biden guy can fall asleep anywhere. And he's falling asleep 2 to 3 times a week. So if that's the standard, I just say we hold him to it.
Absolutely. And this is when there's cameras on him at important meetings. Imagine what he's like when the cameras aren't rolling.
Right, he's just basically, he's out cold. There was this moment where it seems that perhaps Trump's tonsil stones may have flown out of his mouth while he was speaking. Even saying that is disgusting. Let's roll the clip.
This is a side issue. This is not the main thing. But Donald Trump did appear to fire out another tonsil stone while speaking, and you see it go there. It is really wacky and nasty stuff. And while this is not, as I mentioned, primarily a show about oral health, why not?
So, hey, do you think maybe you're paying too much attention to Donald Trump? Or
yeah, I think so. No, but I'm getting ready to do an exit where we never talk about him again. That's my hope. Uh-huh. So I'm getting it all in now.
That's good.
And then eventually when the investigations start, you know, in the next Congress, hopefully, we're going to be off-ramping and there will be no more Trump talk, is my prediction.
I'm just upset I can't unsee that now.
Now, we have more of that video, by the way.
Now, Congressman Liu, you introduced the AI Kill Switch Act in the House this week. So this would be a way in which to shut down a model in the event that it's doing something very terrible. However, now that you have gone public, the models will know that you are trying to build a kill switch into their structures. And if they are as smart and getting smarter as people fear, then presumably one thing they would do is make sure that they are forever protected in a kind of clandestine way against whatever kill switch you're trying to put into the system.
So I was sort of sad when I recently got a mailing from the AARP that now I qualify for that. Mm-hmm. They do offer good life insurance, so I did sign up for that. And so that is in the back of my mind.
Oh, that the AI is going to just kill you.
It's possible. So one of my friends is Billy Ray, and he wrote one of the Terminator movies. So I keep telling him he needs to write a script where a member of Congress goes back in time and saves the world. And I said, now it's time to do it with all this AI going rogue.
Well, here's the thing that I've always wondered about the Terminator, where the machine goes back in time ostensibly to allow the creation of the machine that thereby destroys the world. However, the machine would also presumably know that it fails to ultimately kill Sarah Connor and John Connor and cannot prevent what comes next, which means in a sense, it is already doing, it is what it is really doing is creating the history in which the humans ultimately win.
I didn't follow that, but I just want to say that had there been a kill switch in the Terminator movies, we could have cut the movie in half.
That's such an important point. David, are you using AI in any of you? Is AI, where are you on AI?
I don't do my show anymore. It's just AI.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. I'm just here hanging for the entire week. And
wow, that's so fun. So fun to
get things up to play. We tested the, you could do an audio cloning, and we ran my voice just hours through these audio clones and sent it to some of my employees who listen to my voice every day. They couldn't tell the difference. So it's getting good enough that it's going to be a real problem.
Yeah. I do think, like, especially, like, you know, I think about how much of a record there is of my voice in the world. Not enough. Not enough yet, but still plenty. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to need to figure out something. You got to be careful because there are going to be people that are going to make really pretty convincing
robocalls.
Robocalls, yeah. Right? There's also been this debate right now about woke 1.0 and whether or not it was crazy. Congressman, do you have any takes from 2020 that you preemptively want to withdraw?
I'm good.
I don't think you've ever seemed like you had a, do you ever have a crazy era? You ever, what's the loosest you ever get just outside of politics?
I was thinking of publishing a book on my deleted tweets. So
oh yeah?
That's
cool. Yeah. That's brave. Yeah. But as a person, how loose do you get? You have a controlled quality to you. You seem very contained. Are you a contained person? Or is there a demon lurking inside that comes out every once in a while in a kind of a weekend of madness and drugs?
So I grew up in Northeast Ohio. And
so far, no.
I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. And so I go back once a year with my friends because I like watching the Browns lose in person. There's something thrilling about that. And then I go uncontained when they, in fact, lose.
That's pretty crazy.
I don't know if I believe you. Where your chief of staff is here, does he get loose? How loose does he get? Okay, that's moving, shaking hands around. That's interesting to think about. Now, David, you've been making YouTube videos. I went and looked, and you've been doing this for a long fucking time.
Yeah.
How long ago did you post your first video on YouTube?
I guess it's been 17 years ago. Yeah. I was 4 at the time.
You were very young, very young. Do you think if someone said, hey, by the way, just so you know, you're going to be doing this for 20 years, would you have believed them? Would you have been angry?
I would have been scared more than anything. Yeah, no, I wouldn't have believed that. Who knew at the time, who knew even that this whole YouTube thing was going to be a thing or even podcasts? It was the very, I figured somebody would have kicked me off by now.
Yeah, like when I remember when I was a deputy press secretary and a speechwriter, especially when I was in the Senate, I didn't understand until I was sort of directly involved in politics how much of politics was really just about trying to get the media to cover things, to get the information to people. And that has only gotten harder and worse because that was before social media. That was before, that was when you were trying to come up with a great soundbite so that you would get in the articles, which is no longer a thing that anyone can even, you click on an article and they're like, no, you're not going to get that article today, not without an account. And you don't have an account and you can't have an account, you know? What do you think, how do you feel about, like, how do you think about your job as kind of breaking through to get people to hear what you have to say?
That's a great point you make. So one reason we don't read about planes that land is it doesn't sell newspapers, right? It doesn't sell TV ads. And as a result, I think people have a very skewed view of what happens, that you have all these sort of extreme voices that you'll see on TVs because it's sort of clickbait and it sells ads. But in reality, when you sort of look at how government functions and how Congress functions. A lot of it is not that extreme, and you have things happening that are helping the American people, except for this term. This term has all been batshit crazy and extreme. But other than this term, you do have lots of things happening, for example, during the Biden administration that was pretty amazing and darn good. Media just never covered it because building a bridge isn't that interesting.
And also, you know, the right does have ideas that are wrong, but perform way better on social media. Like if you just go, the vaccine killed 10 million people, that's extreme. It's completely untrue. Very shareable. Has a, you know, villain. Is it Fauci? Is it whoever? On the left, if you go, well, the vaccines are pretty good at keeping people alive and out of the hospital. The transmit, we've lost people already. And these platforms are obviously going to favor the one that is going to get people fired up or afraid or angry. And the right just has a lot of those positions, as wrong as they are.
You know what? I want to keep talking about this. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Built. Here's a question. Are you getting rewarded for paying your rent or mortgage right now? Did you even know that was an option? If the answer is no, you need to check out Built. Becoming a Built member means earning points on every housing payment, no matter where you live. Built points can be redeemed for flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, future housing payments, and more. Some of the point perks that really appeal to me, you can get fitness classes, you can use it at restaurants, but there are dozens of ways to redeem. Members also get access to the AI neighborhood concierge built right into the app. It doesn't just give local recommendations. It takes action, from paying rent and reserving dinner tables to booking fitness classes and ordering lifts. It handles tasks seamlessly while applying your member benefits across 50,000 plus partner merchants. First, you download the Built app. Second, link any credit card or debit card to the app so purchases at your local spots become even more rewarding. And third, ask the neighborhood concierge in the app pretty much anything. Download the Built app and join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/loveit. That's joinbuilt.com/loveit. And use our link so they know we sent you.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no-bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to. Journalists, politicians, experts, comedians and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply stupid.
Doesn't sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So I've often felt this way, that there is a bias towards the right on social media because it is, by its nature, being on social media, it is about you are consuming, you are alone, it's isolating, it's sensationalizing, it's about sort of raw emotions, which does, and ends up feeding this sort of conspiratorial mindset. You have this a book coming out called Pay Attention, and it is about how you kind of operate in a world like this. So what have you learned from years of being in the sort of the YouTube minds?
Basically, all of us think that everybody kind of has similar access to the same information, and we do have access to it, but the Mitch McConnell story is a great example where I did a live stream and I had Trump callers calling in. They didn't even know that he had been missing for weeks. They didn't know about the controversy around August 3rd and when can there be a special election, when can't there be? And this is because there's these silos on these digital platforms where we're getting fed a certain set of pieces of content. Other people are getting fed completely different content. And this is why we often try to have these conversations and we're not even starting with the same set of facts. And so the only thing you can really do is try to get out of that, have publications that you go to rather than scrolling and getting stuff fed algorithmically, or the podcast space has still not been taken over algorithmically where you're just flipping to the next thing. You've mostly got to seek out a podcast and say, this is what I'm going to be listening to. That's
God's
one of the biggest
medium.
Problems.
Yeah. It's not, and it's not just digital media. It's all right-wing media. I remember when I was an impeachment manager for the second impeachment of Donald Trump, by the way, we have to specify because he's that bad.
That was the better impeachment, I would say.
I think so.
Yeah.
So we had this war room, and when we weren't presenting, we had sort of the major TV channels on, and we could see what was happening. And I remember that this was a pretty critical moment in our strategy. We were presenting the videos of the attack on the Capitol. And so all the networks show it, and Fox just cuts away and has some talking heads talk about something pretty random. And I just thought, huh, if you're just watching Fox, you're just not going to see that attack on the Capitol.
They were covering Riley Gaines getting seventh in a competition.
Yeah, they really love swimming over there. Now, like, you are a mild-mannered person, and it does seem like, we sort of all have kind of accepted that, like, oh, this is what you have to do. You have to, like, your posts are, I think, a heightened version of how you would communicate if it wasn't required to get in front of people, right? Like, I think you seem to me instinctively a kind of, a convivial, kind of mild-mannered guy, but then you have to go on post being like, Trump, we're going to get him, follow me, you know? And like, I just, like, there is a way in which I think it, all of this, like, even the ways in which we know, like, oh, well, we're not getting fully dragged in, we're trying to stop it, we're trying to address it, but we're all, I think, a little bit, we're all naturally, I think, changing because of how the algorithm, like, kind of incentivizes us to talk. Do you feel that, like, you're communicating in a way that is sort of a little less natural to how you would have communicated in a different era?
I think it's probably the opposite. I think I probably communicate more naturally on Twitter than I'm doing right now because I feel like I can't sort of be unconstrained.
Why not?
Maybe I could.
Let go.
I'm not going to do that.
Let go. We're free.
Because I just look around and I realize what is happening is batshit crazy, right? I mean, we have high inflation, high gas prices, high utility prices. And the big story today is Trump wants to inscribe his name on the Kennedy Center. That's just unbelievably out of this world, like a Saturday Night Live skit, right? And so I don't know why more people aren't shouting from the rooftops that what is happening now is completely unmoored from what our country should be. And we're going to reverse that this November.
And like, I know when we're thinking about how to title a Pod Save America episode on YouTube, how to title this kind of an episode, we've always felt like it's, you don't want to just do another post. It's like Trump crumbles. The walls are closing in on Trump. And you just, and yet it, you know that that kind of thing gooses the numbers, but then over time you have to think there has to be a cost to it. And then you're also kind of playing in the same water that the right is playing in when they're kind of trying to kind of hit people with the cattle prod every day, but you got to get those clicks. Right, David Pakman?
Right.
Listen, the way I describe it is we kind of have two options. We either learn how to play the game or we just lose. And then we cede control to the people with the absolute worst ideas. So what I tell my audience is, if you want to get out of the whole, like, capitalized letters, you know, John Lovett taken out in a stretcher, whatever crazy thing.
Yeah.
Which we obviously not. But you can go to the podcast. You know, there's still platforms. Substack, to a great degree, has not been taken over by that. So I think there are options. But at some point, you have to play the game. We don't control the space. We're kind of publishing on rented ground, YouTube and all these other platforms where we have no say whatsoever as to how these algorithms work. I don't want to cede control to the people with the absolute worst ideas I've ever heard of. And so to a degree, it's kind of the cost of playing the game.
Well, we all want to make the world a better place, and some of us just have to make cringy thumbnails to do it, which is why I'm going to quiz you both right now in a game we're calling, Is This the Game That Finally Brings Trump Down? I'm going to show you a classic YouTube clickbait title. You will tell us what topic or news is actually being discussed in that video. No liberals were spared in the making of this game. Here we go. First up. Finally, Trump gets news that scares the shit out of him. What was this about?
Mar-a-Lago would no longer do his steaks well done.
What do you think? What could it have been? He's thinking.
Barack Obama's going to run again for a third term.
Oh, that's a good guess. No, the correct answer was Trump losing support from white non-college voters, according to recent polling from Brian Tyler Cohen's YouTube. Got him. Next up, Trump slammed with damning news as he loses all control. He's hit by total disaster.
Pat.
Paxton struggling to raise money.
Oh, bet you. No.
Barack Obama running for a third term.
Nope, this was from the I've Had It YouTube, and it is a focus group featured on MS Now showing Trump supporters explaining why they voted for Trump, maybe considering not doing so in the future.
See, if you make that the title, nobody will watch it.
Yeah, no, I know. It's an interesting dilemma. I respect the game. Oh my God, Trump is really going to do it.
I think this one's mine.
It is yours.
Yeah, I remember this one. I have no clue what it's about, though.
It was about Real America Voice host Wayne Allen Root suggesting Trump could declare a national emergency to seize control of elections.
That's a good title. That reflects what's in the video.
You're right. It's good. It's not actually that clickbaity. Yeah. I thought the same when I saw it. It's a respectful, disciplined title to describe an event that is taking place. can you do that? Can Trump do that?
There is nothing in the Constitution that allows a president to do a national security emergency that would affect voting. Can't do
it. There's no secret martial law clause anywhere in that
second. In fact, the Constitution is very clear. It gives the states the right to conduct elections unless Congress passes a law that does elections, and Congress has not done that.
And in fact, if they're trying to find some flimsy, tiny, loose hook on which to hang their conspiracy theories from the past election, it is around the legislature theory that the state legislatures were really meant to be fully in control of elections, which would certainly be in conflict with the idea that Donald Trump is the grand vizier of all of our elections across the country all at once, but just gives us states the largesse to do that on their own.
That's right. He is not, and he's lost every court case where he tries to exert his power over elections. And I just want people to understand that when you have one party trying to suppress your ability to vote, you go fucking vote. That's how you stick it to the man, right? That's how you take back control of the country, figure out a way to go vote. Sometimes going to put obstacles in, just overcome those obstacles and vote this November.
Yeah. Next, is this shit going to destroy the world? What was it about?
AI?
It is about AI. You got it. And this is from Pod Save America. And finally, Trump farts.
That hair thing, I think, is real.
That's real.
Yeah, the hair thing is real. Next up, Trump farts and shits his pants on live TV. Host disgusted by smell and sound.
But there's a question mark. But, yeah. So it's like, did this happen?
Right. Yeah, that's right. What was this about?
White House cabinet meeting.
Oh, so close. It was Lindsey Graham's funeral. this is from an anti-Republican news channel on YouTube with over 676,000 followers. So pretty good, you know? So it's working for them. I respect that. So I want to do close on your AI bill. So this is a proposal that would, in all seriousness, would be so that there is some oversight of these models in which, how would this so-called kill switch work? What are you proposing?
Right, so the bill has two parts. The first is, it says AI companies, when you create a advanced AI model, make sure you can turn it off. No one should be able to disagree with that. And the second part of the bill says, we're gonna give the government the authority to slow down or shut down your systems and give an order, and we set in processes and appeal rights to the company, so there's sort of a standard to follow. Because the Trump administration, in fact, did shut down two advanced models with this weird export control directive that was not designed to do this. And there's an analogy that I think is pretty simple to understand. We don't tell car manufacturers to not make cars or make the best car they can. We let them do it, and then the government literally buys a car and crash tests it. And if something goes wrong, they tell the manufacturer, hopefully they fix it. And if not, they can order a recall. That's what this bill does. It lets them do whatever model they want. If they deploy it and it's helping society, great. But if it goes rogue, or it's got capabilities no one knows, then the government can basically recall it and have them fix it and then deploy it again.
So, I mean, you know, no bad ideas in a brainstorm. But the problem with that is if you get a Pinto and you crash it, it doesn't... And like, oh, this Pinto doesn't work. The trunk was filled with a virus that killed everyone. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, if you crash a Pinto, all the Pintos on Earth don't suddenly explode and kill everybody all at the same time. Like, there's some knock-on effects of what these models can do.
Right.
That you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a great point. So, what we're dealing with this bill is sort of basically the solution to the crash test if something goes wrong. But there's also federal standards for how you build cars. And so that's another piece of legislation we're actually working on, is to put in standards to vet these models before they are deployed. That's much more complicated, but we need that as well. I agree with you.
Are you thinking at all about, and you studied computer science, are you thinking at all about having regulators on site at some of these companies in the same way we have in sort of other industries that are very, that can be dangerous or have like kind of real, like kind of serious societal consequences? Like, should there be someone that is always inside of Anthropic? Should there be someone that is always inside of OpenAI as a federal monitor with certain rights inside of that building?
By the way, I'm a recovering computer science major, so that seems a little extreme to me, but I wouldn't sort of put it out of the question because these models can do some pretty extreme things. I do think there, at minimum, there needs to be the federal government signing off on some of these models before they can be deployed. And that's going to be done with not only standards, but also people who have the expertise to understand what is happening.
Yeah, I don't know. There's, when endangered fish were at risk, we had federal fishing agents that were on the boats to make sure they didn't get the wrong kind of fish. And to me, this seems like worse, you know, and more dangerous. So this is my pitch. I'm just doing policymaking. I did read an article. This is interesting. And you will both be back after Jim Rash joins. So we'll see you for the rant wheel and for some second thoughts. But we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Blinds.com. Imagine a home where the light behaves how you want and you wake up on your own terms, not the sun's. Blinds.com has spent 30 years perfecting the window shopping experience, backed by 50,000 five-star reviews and over 25 million windows covered. We make it effortless to transform your space. You're in good hands. Whether you go full DIY or use their licensed pros, you're always in the driver's seat. Need a hand choosing your style? Book a free consultation with a Blinds.com design expert today. They'll even ship samples to your door fast and free. Choose from a huge variety of style options at prices that fit any budget. Everything is backed by Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee, because at Blinds.com, the only thing they treat better than windows is you. We have Blinds.com blinds at the office, and they're great. We had them installed in our office. The office was getting so hot in the afternoons because there was just sun coming in. And so we got these great window shades that we can roll down electronically. They were installed in a couple of hours. We stepped out of the office, we stepped back. It really made the office nicer, and they did a great job. Right now, Blinds.com is giving our listeners an exclusive $50 off when you spend $500 or more. Just use code LOVEIT at checkout. Limited time offer. Rules and restrictions apply. See Blinds.com for details.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to, journalists, politicians, experts, comedians, and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
we still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply stupid.
Doesn't sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage, he's a lean, mean deaning machine. It's Jim Rash. Hi, good to see you. Come on in. Hi.
Hi.
Now. Good to we had a good time the last time you were on this show. It was in October of 2024.
I was gonna say, it was a while ago.
But that was a heady moment.
Yeah.
Hope ahead.
A hope
ahead. It was a hopeful time. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what the future held. And now here we are.
Yep, we blew it.
You have a new movie, which is Miss You, Love You, which you wrote and directed. It has Allison Janney and Andrew Rannells.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote it because you wrote it picturing Allison Janney.
For the most part, Allison Janney I've known for many years, and she was in The Way, Way Back. And so pretty much you go back to Allison every single time and just hope she's available. And so I lucked out. She was available this time.
What a way to live.
Yeah, what a way to live.
That's cool.
Just keep writing for her.
It's a movie about sort of fraught family dynamics, being gay. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about either of those?
Mm-mm. No, just researched.
Just research, just in the library.
I looked in the mirror just pulling, and I thought about it.
Just pulling out the microfiche.
Yep, that's right.
Remember the microfiche?
Microfilm, too, where you have to reel it, and then you turn the thing. And the crowd goes silent because like, oh, my God, how old is that man?
Some of these people remember microfiche.
Maybe. Some people know.
Some of them know. They know they are. I'm not going to make any assumptions.
Oh. Thank you, my glad. It's okay. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I loved going not to the library. Obviously, I had no social life, but I'm just saying it was very fun to research that way.
It was.
You know?
Well, before the internet, the past was allowed to be the past, and you had to go find it. Mm-hmm. And now we live in a perpetual, endless chasm of the present.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just constantly adding more present.
Just adding more.
And so everything you've ever done or said is current and can be taken out of context now. It's like an echo. If an echo never lost any quality, you know? And that just gets louder and louder and louder, kind of slowly rising scream of all voices for all time.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
So you also wrote The Descendants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did.
So you're famous, but you're famous for being a comedic actor, and then you kind of go to your little laptop.
Go to the darkness.
And you just sort of, you get real dark and serious.
Well, that's where a lot of our ability to address, the comedy comes from, in our past and stuff. But Descendants, was an adaptation, so it was a beautiful book. And so there was there was a nice roadmap there.
Oh, and easy to adapt. Once you're adapted, so much easier.
Oh my God, it's like close your eyes.
Yeah, it's basically done for you.
Right,
it's basically
done.
Writes itself. You know, you just sort of, where it's in the book where it says I in the script, you just put the character's name.
Mm-hmm. That's
right?
All you have
Isn't
to
that
do.
Basically
that's
it?
Basically
and then also make sure the indents
are, yes.
Because the books are not indented.
It might be a little bit long, so you have to make it short.
You got to make, cutting things down, that's a breeze.
That's easy.
Yeah, and by the way, the software knows where the scene things go, interior dash.
This is like a masterclass for writing.
This is, yeah,
what
no,
we're
this.
We're doing right now this, by talking over each other.
This is a masterclass.
Absolutely. Everyone's learning from us.
I think it's really good.
It is, but I do like, I love comedy and drama, and I love the ballet of it. So, yes, I tend to write that kind of stuff.
It's so cool. So cool to have those levels.
Yeah.
So, this was an indie movie.
Yep.
How long was the shoot?
17 days.
17 days.
So we shot in Albuquerque, outside of Albuquerque, for 17 days. Yep.
What is like the biggest challenge of trying to shoot a movie in 17 days, especially something that has to like pretty rich and emotional material in it?
Well, for example, we had to shoot, in order to make that schedule, we had to shoot 13 pages one day. And so basically you don't have a lot of time for rehearsal. And so I luck out because I have Allison Janney and Andrew Rannells, and we came at it kind of like a play, and we shot it kind of like a play. In other words, we did this long 13 minute take basically, which was this 13 pages. And I just let them, when they left the camera, they keep performing and come back into the camera. So I was just picking up what I needed from that thing, but I allowed them to play it as a play so we would get it. But for the most part, they have to come ready, and you just have to fire on all cylinders to make it.
Got to really know their lines.
They do need to know their lines. Yeah, and they
did. That seems really hard.
Yeah.
That's so hard to remember all the lines. That seems like the hardest part of acting.
Yep. That probably is.
Is that wrong? I think it is the hardest part. All those words.
It depends. Some people are really good at it, so maybe that's not the hardest part for them.
Are you the kind of writer-director in which you want to get every word exactly as you wrote it?
No.
You're not in that Sorkin-esque vein? It's like,
not in the Sorkin.
I'm not hearing the comma.
Yeah. I'm not.
I need to hear the comma.
But yes, having Allison Janney West Wing, she was very used to making word perfect. So I usually got what I wanted
without even have to. No, I mean, I like, you know, sometimes you realize you write these, what become as monologues. I remember in the way, way back, Toni Collette had this stuff. And then you watch as she's doing it and you realize, oh, I can cut this whole chunk. And so the next take, she did half of what I had written. And with Nat Faxon, and it was marketably just better because she was already doing it, which is makes complete sense. Same with Allison or Andrew. You know, the actor brings this ability to convey so much that you have given all this wordy, beautiful stuff that you sat, you know, in your home and paced and together.
Do you ever think Stanley Kubrick was right to make them do all those takes?
For the moon?
For all the, every time he made it, yeah, for the moon. For the moon.
Yeah.
What do you mean for the moon?
Well, you know, he shot the fake moon.
Oh yeah, the moon landing.
That's
but they had to do that like a play.
Neil wasn't getting it.
But back to one, everybody.
Back to one, guys.
I needed to feel like it's coming from you. I can still see you reading. I can still see you memorizing.
I can still see it.
Yeah.
It's just one line. We just need one famous line.
How many times? One small step for a man. Neil. Jesus fucking Christ.
We'll use mankind, I guess.
Unbelievable. You think you're working with a professional and then all of a sudden Neil Armstrong shows up. He doesn't know his mark.
But you were going to ask me about Kubrick. And
it wasn't really. It was just, okay. We found a new fun thing to do with
okay,
it. It was all for fun.
That's fine. Great.
All of this is just for
God,
fun.
It really is.
Now, you star in the Rick and Morty spinoff show, President Curtis.
Yes.
And you play this guy.
Look at that. Yeah. I put in my contract that my voice has to come out of a body like that. And they close my eyes and they go, yeah, we got it.
That's kind of cool though to suddenly be like, we heard your voice and this is not what, exactly.
It's like. Mm-hmm. Well, he's part leprechaun too, which is probably more what they're getting.
Oh, right. I see. Now I'm getting it. No, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Look at all those tattoos.
Yeah.
Are there any tricks to making your voice sound like it belongs to a rip, sexy, tatted up half leprechaun special agent?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a little bit lower register. I try.
Really? Do you lower it? And I'm going to say this. How gay is your voice that you're doing when you're doing Curtis or during the Curtis
when
show?
I mean, this guy right here, special agent. Oh my God, I'm getting my pump on. You mean like that?
Yeah. Is that what it's like? Oh, is he gay?
No. No, that's not him. It's like very dry and you know, Secret Service. I'm not doing it very well, but just watch the show.
All right, we'll watch it. Now, you also moved to New York.
I did.
Crazy.
I know. Seven months ago.
Why'd you move to New York?
Because I came from college straight to LA, and I was here for 30 years, and I love it, and I hope my life goes back and forth. But I wanted to check that box. I always wanted to live in New York.
You never lived in New York before.
Never lived in New York, and like the longest I ever worked there was like maybe a month. And I love going there for theater, and so I thought... And then Miss You, Love You, I should say, also started as a play. We didn't do the play. I wrote it, and then the pandemic happened, and so I was like, well, maybe I'll just turn this into... you know, the screenplay as if it had been produced and whichever one gets to the finish line. And so the movie won. And, but I loved writing Miss You, Love You as a play and I'd like to do that again. So that's not that you have to be in New York to do that, but I like being in New York doing that.
Can I give you a little tip as someone who spent a lot of time in New York?
Yeah.
Great food.
Really? Tell me more.
Now, this film gets into, grim grief. Death itself, grief.
Oh, what was you going to say?
I say grim death itself, but grief is the word I couldn't remember.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you found it because you're a great writer. Two great writers on stage right now. So,
is someone coming in? Who's behind the curtain?
Well, fuck.
I mean, you kind of said it.
No, I absolutely, and I'm delighted. Yeah. Now, everyone deserves a eulogy, and they're going to get it in a segment we're calling Gone in 15 Seconds. Okay. Here's how it works. We have a bucket here, and it is Halloween themed.
Okay, good.
And if you squint and blur your mind, you can understand the connection to eulogies.
Yeah, you're really ahead of shooting schedule.
That's right. This is our Halloween episode.
Halloween special.
So funny, it's spooky.
Yeah.
But we will pull a person, place, or thing out of this basket about something that someone or something that died recently or is dying. And we each have 15 seconds. We're just going to go back and forth and we'll take it from there.
And give a little eulogy.
Yeah, a little eulogy.
You should go first. Let me see.
Okay, I'll go first. The MMR vaccine.
Oh.
RIP to the MMR vaccine. Boy, we loved having you. It was so great living in a world where we didn't have to think about measles. But now we're going to have to think about measles more. But maybe it'll bring us all closer together because the stench of disease will feel closer to all of us. Thank you.
Oh, the death of the American ass. You know, with Taylor Farms basically issued this new recall. This recall. So say goodbye to your solid, dear solid poops. Those are gone. We loved having you, that full fiber, solid yeah. drop.
Yeah.
But we will not have you anymore. As we lick the water off our lettuce, we will only know.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. Next up, we have Barbie 2. According to Variety, the Barbie sequel is currently crumbling after David Zaslav balked at a steep talent fee, probably pretty reasonable considering what a heat it was. So I say RIP to Barbie 2. I think on some level, we always believe that it couldn't possibly be good. You know, we want to live in a world of hope and imagine it could be something fantastic, but on some level, it seems inconceivable that it would be good. May its memory be a blessing.
Caroline Levitt's flawless tenure. Goodbye are the days where you will be accosted by someone when you ask a dumb question. Gone will be the days.
What other days?
We're just a smart outfit.
Gone are the days.
Gone
we're just
of
gone.
The days of
that's
that
gone.
Look.
Yeah. Yeah, but we had. But while it was there, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Next up, let's roll the clip.
And this wave pattern, again, it looks like you went and got a blow job at your blowout at your salon. Oh, my God.
And then she just goes down.
Down.
She just down. Sinks down. She cannot recover from it. And I just think that this is wonderful. I am amazed by how quickly it went everywhere. I've never seen a video more quickly. I've never seen a video become a drag show more quickly. This is already a drag performance, and I think that that's beautiful.
Oh my God, I don't even know what this is.
Here, you do this one.
Okay, great. By the way, there's someone did a video from the front imitating.
Oh yes, so funny.
Okay. The European solar eclipse. Oh, this week there was a total solar eclipse in Europe. Wednesday achieved totality up to 2 minutes. Nate Sanders, depending on where you were. So I guess it's just over.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's all okay. Bye, eclipse. I mean, gone, I guess.
Yeah.
It was so great. You know, we put on our glasses and we'll miss you. I mean, maybe it'll come back. I don't know when.
But it will.
But it will. So it's not really.
Yeah, maybe we'll sort of reincarnate. Maybe. Well, the question is every eclipse the same eclipse or a new eclipse? Mm. Did this eclipse die and the next eclipse is a new eclipse?
Started.
Or are we just seeing the new eclipse every single time? Sort of a question about what words mean on some level. Hey, do you remember the book, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court,
mm-hmm.
where he predicts an eclipse so that they think he's Merlin?
I don't know. I'm going to take your word for it.
It's by Mark Twain.
No, that part I know, but...
That was fun to imagine going back in time and predicting an eclipse. Really bailed him out of a jam because they were going to kill him.
Oh.
But then he made the sun go away. But good timing to get sent back in time as a Connecticut Yankee.
Because
it could have been another day where there was no eclipse, then dead Connecticut Yankee. But was he just dreaming? And finally, RIP to Woke 1.0.
Oh.
We bid adieu to the word Latinx, to saying that ain't it, chief, and not a good look, and to white people having readings of books by other white people about racism. Sadly, racism itself is very much alive. Thank you. Now back to a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Yeah. Really finger on the pulse with this one.
Is that, I'm sorry, is that not in the zeitgeist? One of Mark Twain's lesser works. What if I told you I read it on a conversion van?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
As a child. As a friendless child. We'll be right back. And we're back! Let's welcome Congressman Liu and David back to the stage. Let's get back on the... Welcome back to you both. Now, I want to also say, if you go to davidpakman.com, you can check out your YouTube channels, and you can pre-order your book, Pay Attention, How the Algorithms and Media Wars Are Suppressing Truth and Rewiring Your Brain, in stores on September 22nd. And you'll be at CricketCon.
Yes.
You'll be joining us at CricketCon, and that's exciting. But now, it's time for the rant wheel. And here's how it works. We'll spin the wheel. When it lands on you, you got to rant about a topic for 1 minute. Let's spin the wheel. It has landed on Congressman Liu. What would you like to rant about?
Right, can we talk about CAPTCHAs? It's this annoying thing where they click on pictures in a box to show you're not a robot. So I have a CS degree. I literally write legends on AI, and I have to spend a measurable amount of my time trying to convince a computer I'm not a computer. And the most absurd part of this is logging onto Wi-Fi on planes. I'm in a metal tube at 30,000 feet. I went through TSA, they took my ID, they scanned my face, and the Wi-Fi is asking me, am I a robot? Where is the robot on this plane? Did the robot go through pre-check? Does it get frequent flyer miles? So I've read these AI safety reports. AI agents can already complete these puzzles much better than humans can. So be humans like me, they're squinting at this CAPTCHA going, the handlebar on the bike is in a second box. Does a handlebar count? Does a fucking handlebar count?
The AI can just do it?
Yep.
So what are we fucking doing here? That's outrageous. Let's spin it again. David, what would you like to rant about?
Tipping. The tipping is getting out of control. I had to get baby equipment for this trip for my daughter to have a crib and to have a high chair and all this stuff. Pick everything I need to rent. Do I want to give a 20% tip? To who? Doesn't make any sense. It's just completely everywhere. And it's a political story because this is what a lot of corporations are using to keep wages low anyway. So they're passing on a bunch of this to people who are then given the iPad or whatever it is to tip. So I would rather just get the full price up front, including whatever tip would be expected. Let me evaluate if I think that that's a good price and do away with the system. And also, people from other countries often don't know that in the United States, you're expected to tip. And so they innocently just go, tip, I don't know, in my country, you just leave 15 cents or whatever it is to the next dollar. So it's bad for them, it's bad for the workers, it's bad for everybody. I would like to move to just, here's the price, people are compensated appropriately, and we move on from the iPad with the tip.
Let's spin it again. Jim Rash?
Okay, this is going to be controversial, and it's only because it happened last night. Birthdays. And we all, and not that we're not going to have them, you're going to have them, everyone relax. It's the birthday song. If you are in charge of bringing the cake in, you have to set a pace for the song. Every time someone is in charge of the cake, they go with a happy, because they're trying to cue everyone. And that sets a pace. So we have a slow death watch while we sing happy birthday song at a pace that is not joyful. It is not celebratory. So you got to give them a 5, 6, 7, 8 or some kind of thing. But you got to come in with a nice clipped pace.
So what are we doing here?
How many times I've been at a birthday and I start singing faster just trying to get people to pick up the pace. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
You got to come in hot and hard.
Plus with
for
the song.
Lots of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like.
You're welcome. And that's the most important thing.
And I think it's cool that you're at a nice birthday party and you're just screaming, this isn't a dirge. Allegro, Allegro.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I respect that. I think you're right.
That is the person.
Let's spin it again. It's landed on me. So I'm minding my own business, doing what I do, clicking on links, reading the articles. That's what articles come in, takes come out. That's how this machine works. And I clicked on an article I was interested in reading about something related to, you know, news. And I'm minding my own business by reading this piece. And then I get to this sentence. And the sentence was something, that's not a caveat, it's the finding. That's not a caveat, it's the finding. And then I knew instantly that I was reading something written by probably Claude. That was a Claude sentence because it's gibberish. It's not a caveat, it's the finding. And it's like the kind of thing like Boss Baby would say. My general test for a kind of voice on the internet I can't stand is this something the Boss Baby would say? And if you read something that the Boss Baby would say, but it was written by a fucking robot, I'm done, I'm out. Because I don't mind that people use AI tools in useful and helpful and non-destructive ways. Like I think it'd be a great research tool, whatever. But if nobody caught this, how dare you make a ding when I'm speaking. But if you're gonna use the AI and then no one's gonna catch this, it means either nobody cared or nobody had the taste to edit it out, which means I'm a chump if I keep reading, I'm out. And that's what I wanted to say about that. That's not a caveat. It's the finding. Yuck. Hurts my soul to hear it. Doesn't it hurt to, it? But by the way, that pain is the space between human beings and the machines, Congressman Liu. We'll be right back. And we're back. We've arrived at the end of yet another spectacular 10 out of 10 evening, except, of course, for the notes I've been given by my producers, where they have jotted down all the things they believe I could have done differently and much better, which is why it is time for second thoughts. Here's how it works. I have this list of places where they think I could have done better as a person, as a host.
Okay.
If you have any places where you could have done better, or you feel as though you want to make a correction, that's what this space is for. We're all learning and we're all growing. First up, I made jokes about the following topics in front of a U.S. congressman: jacking off, bee genitals, homeless smoothies, end of list. I blamed my jokes on the national mood. I lied and said I'm brave. let's see, during the segment with the congressman and David, I said, I assumed that the congressman remembered sitting next to me at that fundraiser. I don't believe he did.
I know fucking clue. What are you talking about?
I punished our video viewers by showing the Trump tonsil stone thing. That was probably a mistake. I hijacked an important AI conversation with my Terminator theory.
Yeah.
In my conversation with Jim, I said, the slowly rising scream of all voices for all time.
Mm.
In a statement I made while discussing comedy.
Yeah.
Telling an actor what I, a non-actor, think is the hardest part about acting. I brought up the stench of disease.
Yeah, I remember that part. Do you always get these many notes?
This was a long list of notes.
Like you got a lot.
I think I got a lot of
it
notes.
It seemed like you
tonight.
Made a lot of mistakes today.
You know what? You keep.
You're learning though.
Yeah,
and that's so good.
And I'm learning and I'm changing. I'm trying to get better.
Yeah.
Got to get better. It's all we can do.
Yeah, right.
Right. Till the eulogy is about you. You know. Any regrets, Jim Rash?
I think I nailed it. Thank you. But I'll go home and I'll look
you'll
in
ruminate?
The mirror and give notes to myself.
Come on. I think you're right about how this went.
I think everyone did great.
David, do you have any regrets? Anything you'd like to do differently tonight?
I just wish we had had a little more of the tonsil stone video.
Oh, yeah, like a little more tonsil stone. Yeah.
That actually was incredible for me, so I'm glad I got to see it because I had not seen it. And I didn't know there was a thing as tonsil stones.
And Congressman Ted Lieu, do you regret endorsing Karen Bass and not waiting in the hopes that councilperson Rahman would be in the runoff?
I've known Karen Bass for many years. I was on her leadership team in a state legislature, so I think she's great.
You think she's great?
I do. Yeah.
Do you guys think she's great? Something to think about. You think she's good?
Did you donate to me at that fundraiser you're talking about earlier on?
I feel like my time was my donation. My talent and my contribution to our great discussion, which we both remember. And that's our show.
Oh.
Thank you so much to David Pak with Jim Rash and Congressman Ted Lieu. There are 81 days until the midterms. Fuck. Go to VoteSaveAmerica.com if you haven't gone yet. If you haven't gone to VoteSaveAmerica.com, you go and you sign up right fucking now. We got the crooked dozen. We got to win this fucking house. He should have more power than he has right now. Look at him. He's losing his mind over there without the power that he deserves. And we'll be back next week with Harry Sisson and Jimmy Simpson. That's funny. Have a great weekend. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, Raman Borsellino, Peter Miller, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, so listen, whether you're in the States, across the pond, or somewhere on the other side of the world, we love that you tune into Crooked for US News. But did you know we also have a UK news show? Yes, that's right. It's called Pod Save the UK.
Pod Save the UK is a no bullshit, unabashedly progressive conversation about politics focused on the issues that matter most to the people of Britain. With all the changes in our government, including the fun revolving door of prime ministers we have here, there's always lots to talk about.
And there's lots of fabulous guests to talk to, journalists, politicians, experts, comedians, and activists.
Yeah, we've had great comedians on as well, like Rosie Jones, Stuart Lee, Aisling B. We've also had Tommy Vietor on, who may be our boss.
We still don't know.
We're not quite clear on who our boss is. I thought it might be Tommy Vietor. I thought it might be Jon Favreau. I don't know if it's John Lovett. It's hard to say. It's not clear to us who our bosses are.
Some of our listeners call us irreverent but not stupid.
I object to that. I'm deeply
stupid.
It doesn't
sound too bad. So look, come check us out. Come join us. Pod Save the UK every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.